Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Jenna Ellis. Very honored to do so. We've got a great show, and I want to open with a scripture from 1 John 2:15 through 17. The Word of God says this, and it's a great admonition for us on a Monday morning. Love not the world, neither anything that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now listen to this, 1 John 2:17. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And it goes on in that chapter and talks about the emergence of the Antichrist. Very fascinating. 1 John 2:22 says, who is Antichrist? The one who denies that Jesus is come in the flesh, the incarnation. In other words, one of the litmus tests for the mindset or the spirit of Antichrist is really not only the denial of Jesus's incarnation, that he came in the flesh, but really that Jesus is the exclusive one and only Savior. I mean, whenever you hear someone say, whether it be a celebrity or a professor or whomever, if somebody says, well, you know, Jesus is a way, but he's not the way. He was a wise teacher, but only one of many. I mean, if somebody says something like that, undercutting the uniqueness and the exclusivity of Jesus, the one and only Redeemer, Savior, according to 1 John 2:22, that is the mindset, the spirit of the Antichrist. And the chapter goes on, verse 28 is the final verse in 1 John 2, and it says, and now little children abide in him. And the Apostle John, when he writes, whenever he says something like little children or beloved, he's talking about the body of believers. And the verb abide means continual uninterrupted action. Keep on keeping on. Keep on walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, abiding in the Lord. And what a challenge. Listen to this, 1 John 2:28. So that when he appears, we may have confidence before him and not be ashamed at his coming. Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. We've got a great show. And what a challenge. I mean, we're in this world, but if you're a born-again believer, you're a follower of Jesus, we are a steward, and we are just passing through on a journey. We're not to get too immersed in this world, loving this world, idolizing the things of this world, because our home is in heaven and we're going to see Christ. In the meantime, we do have a nation to steward, and every one of us has a role to play in being salt and light. And here we are, it's hard to believe already, September 8th, but we are nearing the anniversary of 9/11. And folks, if you're just tuning in, we have got a fantastic show today, because in just a moment, we're going to speak with former Secret Service agent, speaker, author, and 9/11 survivor, World Trade Center survivor, Darren Kinder, and we'll hear his amazing story of surviving 9/11 nearly 25 years ago. Okay, this summer we had 7 youth camps, over 1,000 teenagers in youth camps in places like Montana, upstate New Jersey, all around the country. And, you know, we do a lot of evangelism with teenagers and biblical worldview training, apologetics, have done this for 27 years. But it's been a concern over the last really 4 or 5 years how many teenagers know nothing about 9/11. And I'm not berating them because they're a product of the education they've been getting and a product of the government schools that the vast majority of these teenagers come from. I used to say public schools. I say government schools because that's what public education is. And as a Christian, not only pastor, minister, but really someone who has been involved in the culture battles for nearly 3 decades, I really would advise no Christian family to have their children in government-run schools. But it's very convenient how the Islamic terrorist attack on America, the Islamic terrorist attacks on Israel, and really the West and the not only terrorist acts, but the cultural jihad that's been going on incrementally for years really goes not even unchallenged, but in many a secular classroom, affirmed. And so as we get near 9/11 every year, and it's very near and dear to my heart to talk about this because 24 hours after 9/11, 2001, I was literally at ground zero for 2 weeks, and that's another story for another day, but with the Billy Graham Ministry and Samaritan's Purse, I had been on their radio shows, and I got asked, it was about 3 hours after 9/11 had happened, and I was asked if I could go to New York City, and later that night, I was on a bus to New York, and we were up there. We were in the rubble of Ground Zero before there was a fence put up. And so I could tell you amazing stories of what God did and how we were doing evangelism, and we were at the National Guard Armory. You may remember some of those images of thousands of people on the streets weeping, putting up pictures, the children that died in the daycare floor that was in the World Trade Center. I remember talking to just dozens of parents pleading, and I've got so many stories about ministering in New York in the aftermath of 9/11. So it is a heaviness on my heart when virtually all of the teenagers with whom I speak these days know nothing about 9/11. They might have heard the term 9/11, but the details of that infamous day they know nothing about. Well, somebody who really does know about 9/11 in a firsthand way, unlike anything you'll probably ever hear, is my guest. And later on, we will take questions in the third segment if you want to call in with questions. There are a lot of headlines, but I'm sure with Darren Kinder, you'll have some questions, but he is doing mission work. He's training people. He's inspiring people. He has served our country honorably as a Secret Service agent, and he was at the World Trade Towers the morning 24 years ago when they began to fall. Darren Kinder, thank you for serving our country, and thank you for being with us this morning on the Jenna Ellis program.
Well, thank you, Alex. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Well, indeed, there's a lot I want to ask you. And you're also the author of, listen to this title, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, Discovering Man's Valiant Purpose in the Aftermath of 9/11. His website is darrenkinder.com. But let's get acquainted with you, sir, and tell us about your background, and then we'll get to the work God has you doing these days.
Sure. Thank you. I just retired from the Secret Service. Gosh, it's an entire 2 months ago. So it's all very new. I was with I was a special agent with the U.S. Secret Service for 25 years and 4 months. Prior to that, I was, oddly enough, a high school history teacher. And I was honored to serve my country for that 25 years, 10 years in New York City, 15 years in different components around the DFW area. And now I've retired and I've launched
into a new career. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, thank you. I'm launching a new career. I've just released the book that you mentioned, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, and beginning my public speaking career.
Yeah. Well, how does one get into the Secret Service? I mean, did you wake up one day and think, you know, I'm gonna apply? How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, my intention in after college was to enter the U.S. military, go to officer candidate school, but that door was closed. Turns out I was medically ineligible due to a history of asthma. I still had asthma at the time, so I just started to look, Alex, for different ways to serve. My fallback plan was teaching, and I did that, and I enjoyed that, but I still had that itch that kind of needed to be scratched, right? And started looking for other ways to scratch that itch. And a friend of mine was friendly with a local Secret Service agent. I met him and considered it and sat on it and prayed about it, honestly, for 2 years. His business card sat at my bedside table for 2 years. And then I went for it. And it was most at the time, most people that they were hiring were former law enforcement or former military. I was neither, but it worked out and it turned out to be a great career.
So during 9/11, I mean, that was the presidency of George W. Bush. Were you on security detail for W?
I worked presidential, you know, detail. I protected in some capacity five different presidents, U.S. presidents from Clinton. I came in at the tail end of in February of 2000, so at the very tail end of Clinton's presidency. So from Clinton all the way up to modern day Trump.
You know, let me ask you this, if you're at liberty to really answer, but how many security threats against presidents happen that perhaps the public doesn't even know about?
Well, I mean, that's a very broad question. I mean, it's more than what most people think, but so much of it today is internet threat, social media threat, things that... You know, the guy at the corner bar 30 years ago, the guy at the corner bar used to spout off his mouth. Well, now, you know, and there was four people that heard him. Well, now there's on social media, you can say the same thing and there's 30,000 people that hear you. So,
sure.
So, I mean, the threat level, it ebbs and it flows with you know, geopolitics and mm-hmm. things of that nature. It's never been zero. It'll never go away. And that's why we need the Secret Service.
Is it true that former presidents aren't allowed to drive a car? I heard that somewhere, that presidents and former presidents can't really get in a car and drive down public roads like the rest of us. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's always an agent driving typically an armored car, even at the point of time when you're a former president. I mean, there's ways around that. You know, you can go out on some land or something, for example, and drive a truck or drive a UTV or an ATV and things like that. But typically, yes, on the roads, their driving days are over.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, we've got a break coming up. And for those just tuning in, we're talking with Darren Kinder. He's a 9/11 survivor and an author. Give your website, and when we come back, I want to get into your book, but I want to talk about your experiences on September 11, 2001. But your website, please, sir.
You can find my faith-based side of my ministry is at fierce-faith.com, fierce-faith.com.
And you speak around the country. What kind of audiences do you speak before, and what is your content?
My content, you know, I've just launched this and I'm speaking, I'm booking all across the country in corporate business settings, you know, more of a secular setting. And that is good. Where my heart, where my passion is of course in the faith-based settings. And, I'm speaking to all kinds of groups. I kind of specialize in speaking to men's groups, men's conferences, men's retreats, all talking about pursuing our God-given purpose, and living a life of valiant purpose.
Amen. And what is a life of valiant purpose? What does that look like by your definition?
We're all created as masterpieces. Ephesians 2:10 makes that very clear. For good works, if, Alex, if we would walk in them, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I are made and created in this time, in this place. I've heard it said, on purpose for a purpose.
Indeed.
So I just inspire and equip men specifically, but all believers, to discern what the will of God is in their life, and then spend the rest of their days getting after it.
Amen. Amen. Alex McFarland here on the Jenna Ellis in the Morning Show. We've got a brief break. We'll continue with Darren Kinder. Hey, by the way, September 14, Myrtle Beach, our speaker series, Conversations That Matter, with Lauren Green, and a roundtable will discuss the state and future of the local church, and it's free. You can check it out at alexmcfarland.com, September 14, Conversations That Matter, Biblical Worldview. Stay tuned. A brief break. Jenna Ellis in the Morning is back after this.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year. And they can't do that without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound, the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here, and very honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis, attorney broadcaster Jenna Ellis. And we will resume our conversation with Darren Kinder here in just a moment. But I want to say, if you recognize my voice, it might be because of a show called Exploring the Word. And that is heard 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern, Monday through Friday, live and in the time zone of your choice. But on Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network, Bert Harper and I, we teach through the Bible. You know, incidentally, in like the last 15 years, we've taught through every verse of the Word of God three times. And it's just such a blessing. Just this past weekend, I was on the road in Little Rock, Arkansas, and just so many people came out, and they were telling what the show meant, really what all the programming of the American Family Radio means to them. And we give God the glory. We completely give God the glory. But if you're new to AFR, and it seems like every weekend when I'm in a city somewhere in America, people come up and they'll say, you know, oh my goodness, 6 months ago I never heard of AFR, and now I have my radio there all the time, or my computer. You can listen live at AFR.net or on any mobile device streaming service. But we give God the praise, because what we do at AFR, I teach the Word of God on Exploring the Word, but there's news, the events of the world, current events, truth, cutting-edge journalism, but all through the lens of a biblical and, as a patriot, a constitutional worldview. And there's so much going on in the world. Oh my goodness, events in the Middle East, the struggle to speak against like anti-Semitism and to stand for Israel. And so I hope you're engaged. I hope you're informed. And I certainly hope you're praying for America. And you know, around this time, September, just irrevocably to me, when I think of the month of September, I think of 9/11, because I remember what an amazing well, I shouldn't say amazing, infamous day that was. And we're talking with Darren Kinder, who is a 9/11 survivor, and he is the author of the book, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, Discovering Man's Valiant Purpose in the Aftermath of 9/11. His website is Darren Kinder, K-I-N-D-E-R, DarrenKinder.com. Sir, thank you for being with us, and I want to hear the story. I got to 9/11 24 hours after it happened, but you were there as it happened. We want to hear that story, Darren.
Yes, thank you. I was a young, as I like to say, I was a young and dumb baby agent assigned to the New York field office. And our field office was in 7 World Trade Center. So the third tallest building of the complex just across the street from Tower 1, the North Tower. And upon impact, we were all just a bunch of us were in the gym, in the locker room, getting dressed for the day after exercising and putting on clean suits. We all were wearing suits that day because we had a big meeting. Mm-hmm. And we were told to evacuate, and we did. And what we did was just a bunch of men and women. This was outside of our mission set. You know, this was not something that particularly pertained to us, but when there's pain, when there's suffering, when there's just utter destruction and chaos, you have a choice, right? I like to say, Alex, courage is a choice. Yes. And we chose to enter in, and we grabbed these huge first aid trauma kits that we have for our job, and we just took a bunch of those and started rendering first aid to victims on the street. And that's where I was when the second plane came in lower and hit the South Tower, Tower 2. I was, oh gosh, Alex, I was about 80 yards from the base of that tower, and that's when things got really kinetic and really crazy.
Darren, if you could describe what that sound was like. I mean, was it just the loudest, most forceful explosion imaginable?
Right. Oddly enough, I had tunnel vision on this woman's arm. I was bandaging, I was irrigating her arm. She was badly burned. And I had tunnel vision. I didn't hear or see the plane, which is just outrageous because if you remember, that plane came in much lower than the first.
Yeah.
That's why Tower 2 collapsed before Tower 1. And many of my colleagues have memories of the screeching jet engines and so forth. I didn't hear any of that. But to your point, the massive explosion, I could feel the heat on my neck, and it was just so jarring. And we all scattered like ants. It was like something. We all have this image, this view of an explosion like that would be from the movies and so forth. It was that times a thousand. It was so powerful.
Indulge me a second. I want to tell you about that morning. And my mom, rest her soul, she's in heaven, but my mom, she was a school teacher for 28 years. But my mother was one of these that whenever we watched like a mystery on TV or a detective show, my mom, 10 minutes in, would explain what had happened. She could solve anything. I'll never forget the morning of 9/11. Darren, I was getting ready to head out on a ministry trip, and my mom called me, and she said, turn on the TV, turn on the TV. The first plane had hit, right? And my mother said, we're at war, we're at war. I said, no, maybe it's just some tragic accident, Mom. But of course, we were horrified. Well, then, like, I'm watching TV on live television, and the second plane hit. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, this is real. This is real. And indeed it was. Incidentally, I want to give a little memorial acknowledgement. Our neighbor, folks, you know, if you listen, you know I'm from a farm in North Carolina. Well, right butted up against our farm was the family of the stewardess who died in the field in Pennsylvania. And I've interviewed the mom. But yes, our one farm over from our farm, our neighbor died in the plane that went down in Pennsylvania. But Darren, let me just, before we continue hearing your take, as a Secret Service agent, how at what point did you Okay, you learned about the first tower, the second tower, the Pentagon, the field in Pennsylvania. Were all of your, you know, communications about, okay, this is a national emergency, we're at war? I mean, how did the chain of communication play out?
Well, comms were awful. I had lost my cell phone and during everything, and we had pagers. You may remember that.
I remember
pagers. I had lost that as well. It just in all the chaos, lost it, and I had neglected to grab my handheld radio, which would have been very useful. But I knew, to speak to your mother's story there, I knew when I was looking up at Tower 1 after the first plane, I didn't know what had happened, but I don't know if it was an instincts training or what. I was looking up, I was literally 20 yards, you know, from the base of it looking up, and I knew that was not an accident. Okay. Of course, I would spend the rest of my day, honestly, kind of blind and oblivious to a lot of the facts. That's why I did some of the stupid/questionable things that I did. But I really didn't have a comprehensive look at the day until I got home about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. But I knew when I saw it. I knew that I'm a student of history. I know that radical Islamic terrorists tried to destroy the Trade Center in '93 with a truck bomb.
Yeah, they
and
did.
I knew that they had promised that they would try again. And so I knew it was game on. I knew it was an attack. Of course, none of us could know the magnitude of it at that time.
Sure, sure. How badly injured were you, sir, when all that rubble began to rain down? How injured were you?
In all that I experienced, I had very minor injuries, just cuts and scrapes, and inhaled a lot of pulverized concrete and other particles, I'm sure. And I still get medical updates and checks on the lungs and so forth. And praise God, I haven't had any issues there. I really did not have any significant injuries as a result, though.
Did Secret Service agents die in that?
We lost one Secret Service member, a special officer, Craig Miller. He was on temporary assignment. I did not know him. He was on temporary assignment up from D.C., and he was working overnight shift and was staying in the Marriott World Trade Center, which was the hotel sandwiched between the two towers. And to my knowledge, he was never seen. They did identify his remains years later. Yeah. But he was, a father, if I remember correctly, father of two young girls, Gulf War veteran, the kind of person that, you know, should not have been taken from this world so soon.
Sure. Sure. You know, if you would speak to any interactions you had with Mayor Giuliani, because I want to say, folks, I want to be on record saying I absolutely love Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. When I was up there with the Billy Graham Ministry, I was a chaplain. They put up a fence around the rubble, but on day two, we were in and around the rubble, talking with first responders. I still have a lot of pictures that are just unbelievable. Ladder Company 12, the Javits Center, where FEMA was, multiple meetings with Mayor Giuliani, individually and with the Billy Graham Ministry. But I just remember it was like he never slept. And he was the morale builder. No matter where I went around down there, Wall Street, the rubble of the Trade Towers, Mayor Giuliani was always around. I saw him last year at the RNC convention in Milwaukee, and I've seen him since. But give me your impressions of the way that when the world, but New York City, was absolutely in shock, Darren, any impressions and memories you have of Mayor Giuliani at that time?
I didn't have much personal interaction. I didn't say have any personal interaction with him. I witnessed him. I was around him on September 14th when President Bush came to visit the Ground Zero site. I was part of that protective detail there at Ground Zero. Governor George Pataki was there. Mayor Giuliani was there with the president as well. And that was one of the high water marks of my career, and I go into great detail on what that was like in my book. But I know as a citizen of New York, when I think of him, I think of a steady hand, a steady, reassuring hand. There was a sense of law, of order, that there was going to be justice, and that the city, I saw the city because we worked hand in hand. I saw the city of New York, specifically the NYPD, NYPD Intel Division, just go into hyper mode on steroids. You know, they were going to do everything they could in their power to make sure this never happened again in their city. And he was at the vanguard of that. I agree with you.
Your book, when does it release or is it out already, and where may people buy it?
Yes, thank you. It's been out for a couple of weeks now, 3 weeks, I guess. And you can find it anywhere you buy books online, BarnesandNoble.com, and obviously Amazon. So it's been out for a few weeks. It's doing quite well, and I'm excited about it.
Have got to ask you this, and folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Alex McFarland sitting in for attorney broadcaster Jenna Ellis, our very, very special guest, Darren Kinder, former Secret Service agent and 9/11 survivor. Darren, did you happen, 9/11 was on, if I recall, a Tuesday. Did you happen to see the Sunday edition of the New York Times after 9/11?
I do not recall the Sunday edition. I had gone home to Virginia to see my family for that weekend, and I remember being in church at my home church that I grew up in that Sunday morning, but I do not remember the New York Times Sunday paper.
Well, folks, listen to this, and half the time get choked up when I say it. I remember how, just for those of us that really love America, and we know that God raised up America to, yes, be a land of liberty, but to, I fully believe the reason God raised up America is to participate very tangibly in Christ's Great Commission. That's why the woke left and the forces of darkness hate America, because America has been for 2.5 centuries the primary driver of Christ's Great Commission in the world. But the Sunday edition, folks, listen to this. I got one. I've still got it in a box. There were several dozen full-page ads from the nations of the world. And keep in mind, 9/11 happened, and we were only learning about the terrorism and all that was going on, you know, incrementally. But I remember there was a full-page ad from the nation of France, and it showed a picture of the Arc de Triomphe, and it said, "America, we're with you. You saved us in World War II. We don't know what this is or who's behind it. Whoever it is, please know France is with you. Greece, Italy, Britain." The nations of the world put full-page ads in the New York Times. But then I'm turning the pages, and there's a double-page ad from Israel. And it says, "America, you're the best friend we ever had. Israel is with you." And it moves me even still, Darren. Doesn't it, you... the way that when this demonic, murderous attack happened called 9/11, suddenly the nations of the world, they said, "Hey, this is America. We got to stand with the USA." Doesn't that move you to know that behind all the rhetoric of the left and the acrimony, still people seem to know America is the beacon of light and the beacon of hope?
And it's simply, if you're a student, I agree with you. If you're a student of history, it's simply undeniable the amount of good that has poured out. And like you said, reaching the least of these, fulfilling, being a huge part of fulfilling the Great Commission in our modern times. And that was as tragic as it was, as awful as it was, that was some of the best of America.
Amen.
The unity, the driving force. It was something special.
Hey, we're going to come back. You can ask a question, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you want to ask a question of Darren Kinder or myself. He's the author of Bury Me in a Dirty Suit. He's our very special guest. Jenna Ellis in the Morning is back after this. Alex McFarland saying, stay tuned.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. And by the way, we've had an incredible summer speaker series, Conversations That Matter. Just 2 weeks ago, we had Charlie Kirk, and we had 2,000 people from 17 states come to Myrtle Beach. Why Myrtle Beach, you say? Well, 20 million people from all 50 states come to Myrtle Beach. And there are a lot of music theaters down here, kind of like Branson, Missouri. So we've rented theaters to do apologetics and biblical worldview. And we've had Dinesh D'Souza, a lot of great speakers over the years. Well, September 14, and it's free, folks, free, as in no charge whatsoever. We've got Lauren Green of Fox News, national religion correspondent. She does the Saturday night news. Lauren Green will be there in person also September 14 from the Trump White House, the International Ambassador for Religious Freedom, Mark Walker, in person. Caleb Collier from the Church and State broadcast, and a number of leaders. And Lauren Green, best-selling New York Times author, is going to speak. There will be ample Q&A, but we're going to talk about the state and future of the local church. You will be inspired, and maybe if your own church is kind of plateaued or declining, I think you'll get some pointers on how to turn that around. So September 14, Conversations That Matter, and then October 3 and 4, I'll be doing a free Friday night, half a day Saturday, apologetics seminar, and we'll keep you posted on that. But complete information is at alexmcfarland.com. Well, our guest is Darren Kinder, 9/11 survivor. He's also a sought-after speaker, and he tells the story in his book, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, as a Secret Service agent surviving 9/11. By the way, Darren, thank you for being with us, but for those that want to bring you to their city, I know you do a lot of leadership training, Christian speaking. You're a very inspiring communicator. How could people look into bringing you out to an event?
Sure. You can go to my website, fierce-faith.com or darrenkinder.com. You can reach me on either website. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn at Darren Kinder. I spell my name correctly, which is one R with an I. Mm-hmm. I'm the only Darren who does that, apparently. So those are my websites, and that's my socials.
Wonderful. Well, we've got calls. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. We're going to go to Oregon. Judy in Oregon. Judy, you're up early.
Oh, I get up very early. I do many things before 9 o'clock. But I want to just share that when I was, this day is before you brought this onto the program, I'm planning on going to a city council commissioners meeting to the school board this morning at their district office and make sure that these kids who don't know about 9/11 definitely know about 9/11, because I go to a lot of school board meetings. But what I was going to share on that morning, I remember Hugh Hewitt goes back to that, you know, 24 years ago. I was in the kitchen again early in the morning on a and I heard Hugh Hewitt, because I always turn on the radio, and when I'm in, and I heard his voice being so low, I didn't even hear what he said. I went right to the TV and I turned it on, and I saw the devastation in the second tower being hit and everything. And so it was just a very, very sad day, and to hear the kids in their daycare there, it's just very sad. And I want to make sure that we don't ever forget 9/11.
God bless you, and God bless you for being involved with the school board. Because, Darren, yes, I've met a number of teenagers that are just clueless, and I've actually debated with a couple of college students in my speaking and travels, students that think it was a hoax, the moon landings were faked, 9/11 was faked. I mean, this is important. And, Darren, you said it was an Islamic terrorist attack. It absolutely was, but we dare not forget this painful piece of our history.
Right. I have the privilege of speaking to young groups a lot, sometimes in the college setting and in the high school level setting. And for me, I'm essentially given a history lesson for much of it, which is interesting, and I enjoy it, but I am a little stunned at the lack of knowledge of 9/11 and everything that went behind it and what happened afterwards. But what I try to do, make very clear when I'm speaking to young groups, I make it very clear. I look them in the eye and I say, evil exists. And someday, one day, it's not going away. One day, your nation is going to call upon you to answer the bell. And I honor in the book, I honor the 422 first responders who died in New York City on 9/11. And I honor the veterans who then went downrange for years to make sure that an attack like that never happened again. And we can have a spirited debate as to you know, whether some of those conflicts were worth it or not. But at the end of the day, what you cannot debate is that the United States has never been hit with an attack of that magnitude since. Right. And that's because the guardians, the law enforcement, first responders here in this nation, and the warriors who went downrange.
Indeed. Linda in Illinois. Linda, thanks for holding. Welcome to our conversation with Darren Kender.
Thank you for taking my call. I remember watching, and Benjamin Netanyahu was at the UN that day, and he said, "This is a wake-up call from hell, people. Is anybody out there listening?" And I wrote it down because I never want to forget. And thank you, and I'll let you talk to somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Yes. Wow. A wake-up call from hell, and we better not miss it. And folks, I did a lot of media in the aftermath of that, and I remember, Darren, I was on Salem media quite a bit, and there were many left-leaning professors and different ones. I actually debated an imam, an Islamic imam, and they were saying, Islam is a religion of peace, Islam is a religion of peace. That mantra that, and even some of the commentators that were like, oh, well, America, we the victim were at fault because of our friendship with Israel and such. I mean, that rhetoric is, besides being false, it's very, it jeopardizes the stability of the world and the safety of America, doesn't it?
I could not agree more. I mean, that partnership with Israel, it's the only thriving, stable democracy in the region. And for the idea of the United States turning its back, it baffles me. And it baffles me that we like to blame the victim and try to kind of reverse engineer excuses and reasons. At the end of the day, evil exists, and we were sucker punched. And you can't just take it lying down, and you have to do whatever you can to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Indeed. Let's go to Texas. Joseph in Texas. Joseph, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Good morning, brother. How are you today?
Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Sir, I just want to share my thoughts regarding the 9/11. I used to live in New York City. Now I'm moved in Dallas, Texas. And I remember when I was heading to my job, when the second tower hit, the second one hit the second tower, it was the very darkest moment in our history here in U.S. And when I coming back, when I was heading from Manhattan to Brooklyn, I was using a Brooklyn Bridge. And when I entered into the Brooklyn Bridge, I saw Palestinian Muslims. They were living in a Brooklyn area. They were dancing. They were distributing sweets, all those things, because they were very happy. I just want to let you know from your platform, sir, we really have to think Islam seriously. Islam has nothing to do with the peace. When they say Islam is a religion of peace, absolutely lying. I am running the world's largest apologetic website. It's the first largest English website where people can go and watch all this comparison between Islam and Christianity. So please keep talking and tell people Islam has nothing to do with the peace. And we have a lot of radical Muslims lives in our area. Especially there is an imam in the Boston area. He's a very dangerous. A couple of days ago, Elon Musk tweeted that we need to take this person out, remove this person from the country. So please keep talking about it. This is a reality. This is a fact. Mm-hmm. They are not our friends. They are enemies. We love our enemies, but we have to be very wise as well, sir. Well, thank you.
God
so much,
bless
sir.
You, Joseph. You're thank you for those sentiments. And Darren, that, you know, it takes courage to speak truth, and that is the truth. I mean, we love people. We want people saved. We want the whole world to know Jesus. But very soberly and honestly, we have to admit, Islam does not have peace or assimilation as their goal, but a worldwide caliphate, and the Islamic worldview is not the friend of America.
Yeah, I think as in post 9/11, I saw those celebrations, and of course it infuriated me. But we were really mission focused on making sure that this didn't happen again in my job at that time. But now looking forward, we have to keep sending people downrange to protect the homeland and do what we can. But I don't think we're gonna bomb that ideology out of existence. We have to be on the offensive and keep the radicals on the defensive. However, that man mentioned apologetics. Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is going to be the weapon of our warfare. That is going to be the message, the gospel of Christ is the only thing that's going to bust these strongholds. And whatever I can do to play a role in that, to take the name, to be a witness and to be an ambassador, right? That's what we're called to be, witnesses and ambassadors of Christ. Yeah. And I want to spend the rest of my days metaphorically getting my suit dirty doing that.
Amen. Amen. Tom in Arkansas. Tom, thanks for holding. Welcome to our conversation with Darren Kinder.
Hi, good morning, and ditto on AFR being my favorite radio station day in and day out. But
praise
I did
God.
Want to ask Darren a question. I want to know if he sees any significance, positive significance, I hope, relating the events of 9/11 and then President Trump's position on renaming the Department of Defense, the Department of War, because I feel like defense is, like a reactive state. And I think that we need to, it's very significant with our country's posturing. So I'm just curious if he has thoughts on that.
That's a good question. I've never been asked that. I mean, me personally, you can write it off as semantics and, what difference does it make? It would make zero difference what you call that department, in my opinion, if the mindset didn't change, if the methodologies didn't change. But if you're telling me we're switching the name and our mindset is going to be shifted as the current defense secretary says, then it is significant because the department should be named about the attitude and the mindset that it reflects. And while I don't think the change in the name really changes the game, I'm more concerned with our approach and our approach on a geopolitical spectrum to be ready for all threats and those, for the first time we have near peer adversaries in China, and there's a lot of threats out there. And if the name change reflects a change in attitude, then I'm all for it.
Oh, let's go to Texas. Jerry in Texas, welcome to our program and our guest, Darren Kinder.
Well, thank you, brother. We listen to AFR a lot in our family. And I, like the brother that was an ex-CIA agent, have very detailed memories of where I was. I served 20 years, made 2 deployments. And I tell my children of those deployments, of those things, so that they will understand. They didn't live it. They don't know it. But I tell them of it so that, as the Bible commands us, we tell the generation after us so that they won't soon forget. But I guess my comment is that some have forgotten. It's not being taught properly. It's not being taught lovingly. It's being taught from an ideology of indoctrination, because look at who the front runner is for New York City's mayor now. How soon have we forgotten that the next generation will forget? And I'm going to let you go with that, brother. I appreciate all that you do. We love you,
Jerry,
brother.
God
Alex.
Bless you. Islamic Marxist Mamdani, front runner for mayor. How does that strike you, Darren?
I've never been asked for my hot take on that. But if you take that description, that's accurate, and then lay it over the event that we're talking about today, 2001, New York City, it seems impossible.
I've said, now, folks, think about this. forgive me, but in related news, let's make Hirohito the state seal of Hawaii. I mean, you know, think about it. That's apples to apples in a way. But
Right. The last awful sucker punch that America received, it defies all logic to me.
Yeah, it really does. We need to pray for New York City, folks. Pray for America. Darren, I respect you. I appreciate you. Godspeed, and I hope we can collaborate on many levels. He's the author of the book, Bury Me in a Dirty Suit, 9/11 Survivor. Darren Kinder has been our guest on the Jenna Ellis Show this morning. Alex McFarland here. Good Lord willing, I'll be back at 3 o'clock Central for Exploring the Word. In the meantime, pray for America, stay bold, stand strong, speak truth. Blessings to all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.